All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're taking a look at a fascinating case from Texas, property law specifically. It's 718 Associates, Limited v. Sunwest NOP Incorporated, and it's from 1999.
Okay.
And you might be wondering, like, why are we going back to the last century for this?
Yeah.
But it really gets into some of the nitty-gritty that we deal with today when a commercial lease changes hands, and especially when you have those renewal options in a lease. So the question we're really going to try and tackle is, when you've got a new company that comes in and takes over a lease, can they also use those options to extend the lease, even if those options were originally negotiated with a totally different company?
Yeah. And that's something that comes up all the time, especially, mm-hmm. as you said, in the commercial context.
Yeah.
You've got businesses that are buying and selling properties, changing hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's really important to know what happens with the lease.
Yeah.
Does it just disappear?
Right.
Does it go with the property?
Does it get transferred along?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so this deep dive is really going to help us unpack some of these issues and understand how they play out in a real world scenario.
And I think a lot of the principles in this case, you know, they kind of span across jurisdictions. Obviously, we're dealing with Texas law here, but the kind of concepts of assignments versus subleases and the idea of covenants running with the land.
Right.
That's something that comes up no matter where you practice.
Absolutely. These are fundamental property law concepts.
Yeah.
And they have relevance across the board.
Okay, so let's set the stage here, right? It's 1976, disco's on the radio.
Right.
And we've got Safeway stores. And legally, at the time, they were known as Safeway Maryland. And they enter into this 20-year lease with the property owner's trustee.
Okay.
But this lease, it wasn't just for a flat 20 years. It also had a pretty significant provision for Safeway. They had 7 options to extend for 5 years each.
Wow, that's a lot of options.
A lot of options.
Yeah.
So potentially, you know, decades more on top of that initial 20 years.
Right.
So a few years down the line, 718 Associates comes into the picture. They buy the property from Safeway Maryland, and then they do this thing called a sale leaseback.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty common tactic in commercial real estate. They lease it right back to Safeway.
Makes sense.
So now 718 Associates is the landlord and Safeway Maryland is the tenant. But the same lease, that original lease that had all those options, is still in effect.
Right. So they just swapped roles, essentially.
Right.
Safeway was the owner. Now they're the tenant.
Right. Exactly.
But the agreement itself continues.
Yeah. Yeah. And that sale lease back, you know, it allows the original owner, like Safeway in this case, to kind of get some cash flow going. They can free up some capital that's tied up in that property while still being able to use it for their business.
Yeah. The strategic move.
Yeah, for sure. But then things start to get a little more complicated. Between 1986 and 1988, that leasehold interest, basically, the right to be the tenant in the property, it changed hands 3 times.
Oh, wow. So it wasn't just a one-time transfer?
Right. First, Safeway Maryland assigns it to a company called Safeway 83. Then Safeway 83 assigns it to PDA. And finally, PDA assigns the whole thing to Sunwest.
So like a chain of transfers.
Yeah. And each of those transfers, this is important, it was for the entire remaining term of the lease. So Sunwest essentially steps into the shoes of all the previous tenants.
Okay, so whatever time was left on that original 20-year lease, plus all those potential 5-year extensions, Sunwest now had the right to it.
Exactly. Fast forward to 1994, Sunwest is operating on the property, and they decide, you know what, we're going to go for it. We're going to exercise all 7 of those 5-year renewal options.
Whoa, all 7?
All 7. If they had succeeded, they could have stayed there potentially until 2031.
That's a long time.
I mean, think about it. 1976 to 2031, we're talking like over half a century.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, 718 Associates, who's now the landlord, they're not too thrilled about this.
Of course not. I mean, that's a significant commitment.
Yeah. So they object, and as it often happens when there's this much disagreement, things end up in court.
Right. It's the classic landlord-tenant dispute. It's escalated to a legal battle.
Exactly. So in 1996, Sunwest files a lawsuit against 718 Associates asking the court for a declaratory judgment.
Okay. And just to clarify, a declaratory judgment is basically asking the court to step in and say, hey, here's what the law says about this situation.
Right. It's like, judge, can you tell us who's right here?
Exactly.
So 718 Associates, they had a couple of big arguments in their corner.
Okay, let's hear them. What was their legal strategy?
Their first argument was that those transfers of the leasehold interest, they weren't actually assignments at all.
Oh, interesting. So they were trying to say that the whole chain of transfers was invalid?
Yeah, they claimed that they were actually subleases, which is a different thing legally.
Right, and I think it's important to pause here and really highlight the difference between an assignment and a sublease, because this distinction is absolutely critical in property law.
Yeah, I mean, we hear those terms thrown around, but what's the real, like, legal difference there?
So in a sublease, the original tenant, they're only transferring part of their interest in the lease. They keep a little bit for themselves.
Okay, so they're still in the picture somewhere.
Right. It's like they're becoming a mini landlord to the new tenant, who we call the subtenant. The subtenant pays rent to the original tenant, and the original tenant still has some rights to the property before the main lease expires.
Okay. And an assignment, how does that work?
In an assignment, the original tenant is completely transferring their entire remaining interest in the lease. They're essentially out of the picture. So the new tenant, the assignee, they step directly into the shoes of the original tenant and deal directly with the landlord.
Got it. So it's about who ultimately holds that right to possess the property for the remaining term of the lease.
Exactly. And as you mentioned earlier, in this case, all those transfers were for the full remaining term.
Right.
Which is a strong indication that they were assignments, not subleases.
Okay, so that was 718's first argument. What was their second line of defense?
Their second argument was that even if those transfers were actually assignments, the renewal options were, quote unquote, personal to Safeway Maryland and didn't automatically transfer with the lease to SunWest.
Interesting. So they're saying that those renewal options were like a special perk just for Safeway, not something that could be passed on like a hot potato.
Exactly. And this is where we bump into this concept of covenants running with the land.
Yeah, that sounds a little mysterious. What exactly are we talking about here?
So imagine a covenant as a promise within a contract. When we talk about covenants running with the land, we mean that the promise isn't just binding on the original people who made the deal.
It's like the promise sticks to the property itself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So even if the property changes hands or the lease is assigned, that promise still applies to whoever's currently involved.
Okay. And are there certain criteria that need to be met for a covenant to run with the land?
Yes, absolutely. For a covenant to run with the land in Texas, generally, it has to touch and concern the land, meaning it directly relates to the use and enjoyment of the property. There also needs to be evidence that the original parties intended for this promise to continue with future owners or tenants. And finally, there needs to be this legal connection called privity of estate between the person trying to enforce the covenant and the person who's supposed to be bound by it.
Privity of estate. So that's basically like the direct landlord-tenant relationship, right?
Right. And it's distinguished from privity of contract, which is that initial agreement between the very first landlord and tenant, which continues even after the tenant assigns the lease.
Okay, so 718 was basically saying, hey, these renewal options don't meet those criteria. They were just for Safeway, nobody else. But obviously, SunWest had a different perspective, right?
Oh, absolutely. SunWest came back swinging. They argued that the transfers were definitely valid assignments.
Mm-hmm.
And they pointed specifically to Article 7 of the original lease.
Ah, so they're going right to the lease agreement itself.
Yep. And Article 7 clearly states that the tenant has the right to assign the lease without needing the landlord's permission. That's a pretty strong point in their favor.
It sounds like the original lease really anticipated that the leasehold interest might be transferred.
Right. They built that right into the agreement.
Okay. So what was SunWest's argument about the renewal options?
Well, they argued that the renewal options weren't some special favor to Safeway.
Okay.
They said those options were inherently tied to the property itself. It was a benefit designed for whoever held the lease. Essentially, SunWest argued those renewal options did indeed run with the land.
So we've got these two opposing arguments. Was this a valid assignment, and did the renewal options go with the lease? What did the court ultimately decide?
Well, the case went to trial, and initially the trial court denied both parties' requests for summary judgment.
Okay, so the court thought, we need more information here. This isn't a slam dunk for either side.
Exactly, but then the court reconsidered and ended up granting summary judgment in favor of SunWest.
Wow, so a change of heart for the trial court.
Happens sometimes.
And 718 associates.
They appealed, as you might expect.
Of course. So what happened at the appellate level?
The appellate court agreed with the trial court.
So they upheld the decision in favor of SunWest.
That's right. They said SunWest did have the right to exercise those renewal options.
Okay, but what was their reasoning? What were the key points that swayed the appellate court?
Well, the court started by emphasizing the clear and unambiguous language of the lease itself.
That seems to be a recurring theme in contract cases.
It is. If the contract is clear, courts are generally going to stick to what it says. And in this case, Article 7 explicitly permitted assignment without landlord consent. That directly contradicted 718's claim that those transfers were actually invalid subleases.
Right. The lease itself gave the tenant the power to assign it.
Exactly. And then the court tackled the big issue of those renewal options.
The million-dollar question, did they run with the land?
Right. And the court said, yes, they did. They said the renewal options touched and concerned the land because they directly impacted the use and occupancy of the property.
Which makes sense. If you can renew the lease, you can keep using the property.
Precisely. And the court also reasoned that the original parties probably intended for those renewal options to be a benefit that went with the leasehold itself, not just with Safeway as a specific company. After all, they put 7 of those options in there.
Yeah, that's a lot of potential extensions.
It suggests they wanted to provide that flexibility to whoever held the lease. And finally, the court pointed out that privity of estate existed between 718 Associates, the current landlord, and SunWest, the current tenant.
And this is where the court drops that really important line, that key takeaway for anyone dealing with lease assignments.
Which is?
An assignment carries all rights incidental to the thing assigned.
That's it. It's basically saying that when you legally take over a lease through an assignment, you inherit all the rights and benefits that come with it unless the agreement specifically excludes them.
Powerful stuff. So the court shut down 718's argument pretty definitively.
They did. They addressed and dismissed their other arguments too. They said that because the lease language about assignments was so clear, any outside evidence about what the original parties might have intended was irrelevant. You can't usually contradict a clear contract with outside testimony.
Right. The contract is king.
Right. And they also addressed the fact that even after assigning the lease, Safeway Maryland was still technically liable under the original agreement.
Because of that privity of contract we talked about earlier.
Exactly. But the court clarified that this didn't negate SunWest's rights as the current holder of the lease. They were the ones in privity of estate with 718 Associates.
So what are the big takeaways here? What should people really remember about this case?
Well, the most important lesson is that clear and precise language in lease agreements is absolutely crucial.
You've got to be specific.
Exactly. Especially when you're dealing with assignments and the transferability of rights, like renewal options. If the parties intend for something to be personal to the original tenant and not transferable, they have to spell that out in the lease. Don't leave it to chance or assumptions.
Because the courts are going to enforce the lease as it's written, right?
Exactly. They're not going to guess at intentions that weren't put on paper.
So it's all about careful drafting from the outset.
Absolutely. This case also reinforces the general rules about assignments in Texas commercial leases. The starting point is that tenants have the flexibility to transfer their leasehold interest, along with all the benefits, unless the lease specifically restricts those transfers.
So landlords who want to limit a tenant's ability to assign or to prevent certain rights from transferring, they have to make those limitations very clear in the lease agreement itself.
Precisely. Don't leave it open to interpretation.
Okay, so to summarize, in Texas, unless a commercial lease explicitly states otherwise, the right to renew generally transfers with the lease when it's assigned to a new tenant.
That's the big takeaway from this case. And it really underscores why it's so important to understand these foundational property law concepts and to be really meticulous when you're drafting or reviewing a commercial lease.
Absolutely. This case is a great reminder that what you put in a lease and what you don't put in a lease can have a huge impact down the line, especially when the property and the lease change hands.
It can create all sorts of unintended consequences.
Exactly. So, you know, this case really got me thinking, you know, we focused on renewal options, but what other seemingly standard clauses in commercial leases might have these kinds of hidden implications when a lease is assigned? I think that's something for our listeners to really ponder.
It's a great point. There's always more to explore when it comes to these legal agreements.
Always. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time.
See you then.